Hi, I'm David Grisford from Microsoft, and I'm here at Newgrove's offices in London with Jonathan and Barney. So guys, could you introduce yourselves and particularly tell me a little bit about the problem you've been solving for one of your big customers?
Hi, I'm Barney Craigs, Sales Director of Newgrove.
I'm Jonathan Boylan, I'm the Technical Director. So, one of our very important customers, Financial Times, they came to us with a business problem. They have huge amounts of data running through their website, not surprisingly, it's probably maybe 100 million records per day at least. And they needed a way of aggregating all this data and then disseminating that aggregated data back to their clients, i.e. people who were advertising on primarily on FT.com.
And what sort of problems are they trying to solve? Was it difficult to find the information? Too little, too much?
Well, one of the key problems was the volume of data in the first place, actually compiling that and aggregating that. But historically, within the industry, they would pass back information on clicks and impressions, and that's pretty much it. So if you're an advertiser, you book a campaign, you need to get that data reported to you. But because of the value of the data that the FT hold and the added data sets that we're able to bring back in, we can give a far deeper view of the type of person that is looking at an advert, the period of time that they're looking at the advert, where in the world they are, information on their geodemographics, information on the type of business. So a massive change in terms of the value of data that could be associated with an individual advertiser.
And this system is now live with them?
Yes, the system's been live now for 6 months.
About 6 months, yeah.
And we're processing something like a billion transactional pieces of data every single month. Every evening we take a feed from the data, so it's near real-time solution. So an advertiser can go in there any time of day and see exactly what is happening with one of their campaigns, and importantly decide whether it's working or not. So they have the data to allow them to make a decision whether to carry on or whether they need to tweak it or change it.
Now, we're going to see a demo in a moment, but first I want to ask is, you built this on Windows Azure platform. What was the attraction there?
Well, Jonathan will cover that for you.
So we chose Azure, numerous reasons. One of the big reasons is platform as a service. It's very different to infrastructure as a service or some of the other alternatives out there. Scalability, not surprisingly. Reliability, Microsoft, obviously a well-known name. We knew we'd be getting a lot of support and backup if it was needed from Microsoft. There are no labour costs associated with looking after the platform, its platform as a service, which is great from a commercial point of view, and there's obviously no capital costs in setting up all the hardware. So that was great. Obviously we're a Microsoft house, so moving to the Azure platform was very, very straightforward. We obviously still use, all the guys still use Visual Studio. Deployment, pretty trivial really. I think it took us a day to build our first Azure app, which was just amazing from my point of view.
Okay, let's have a demo of the system then, guys.
Okay, this is the first screen you see after logging on. So we've logged on, we could be anywhere in the world. And we could either be a customer of the Financial Times, I could be one of their advertisers, or I could be a member of staff, a salesperson working for the Financial Times, wanting to monitor one of the campaigns that my customers has taken on. So we're now looking at the when section of the site, and as you can see along the bottom here, we have a profile of the dates when adverts were served. And a particular interest here, there are three massive spikes here. So this would usually be due to a particular campaign kicking off or an association with maybe an event. This could have been some sporting event that's created particular interest, but it's very clear to see that we're having a massive increase, you know, over a million hits. We've also broken down this data, because these are known users, by the industry type. And here you can see the different levels of industry sector. And if we move the cursor here, we can pick out subsets. So financial services, no surprise with it being the FT.com, over 43% here. And if we just scroll up, we can see the second largest sector there is within the banking arena at 31%. So kind of a multi-dynamic view, not only an age profile in terms of dates, but looking at industry types within those peaks. So this section we're looking at the geographical distribution of where people were in the world when the advert was served to them. So you know, no real surprises in terms of the kind of developed nature in terms of territories where these adverts are being seen. And we can now drill down. So if we select the UK and drill down into the UK by postcode in this example, again we can see certain hotspots, and we can drill down even further by looking at a particular city. So if we home in on, say, the London area, we can start seeing within London for, you know, this campaign, Southwest London returned, you know, over 1 million impressions. And again, you can have that as a direct comparison with other parts. So very easy to see that you are achieving the success that you want in terms of geographical distribution here. The kind of technology that an individual would have used to gain access to the site. So here we're looking at browser, you know, great news for Microsoft. By far in the lead is still Internet Explorer. And we can also look at the connection type or the operating system. So with the onset of handheld devices, you know, publishers are looking at how that is affecting the view of their sites. But all this information, as you can see, is just very easy to navigate and dissect and interpret.
So I'm with John, who's the chief architect on this project. So John, we've got a diagram here. Perhaps you can take me through the moving parts that form the solution up on Azure.
Okay, so users interact, internet users interact via a Silverlight client that talks to WCF services hosted on web nodes. That also hosts the actual Silverlight deployment. It's basically running on MVC3 to host that. The web nodes communicate with the SQL Azure database, which basically provides the data for the application. And for the mapping parts of the application, we use Bing tiles to provide the background imagery. So that's, in a nutshell, the actual running application. A big part of the application is actually loading the data. At present, we load it all locally and then export it on a nightly process. Over here, we pick up about 150 to 180 million rows a day from a variety of FTP sources, mainly FTP, SFTP, FTPS, just to add to the complications. We bring the data down, store it locally, we extract it and load it into a SQL database. We then do the first round of aggregation on that data to obviously compress from 160, say, million rows. We then bring in the other data sources, the user data, the business data, and some of the spatial data. We merge that to a local sort of production-style database. Then we calculate the deltas on that data that we then need to export back up to the Azure platform. Over here, we've got a bit of geocoding, which we use the BIM Spatial Data Service for.
How big was the development team, and how long did it actually take you to create all of this?
Okay, well, it's a very organic application. We didn't change requests all the time. It's improving. It took us about 3 months to get the first drop to the client, and it was a development team of five.
So that's pretty impressive there, and it's been up and live on Azure there. And I gather you're running it in just a couple of instances.
We've got two large web worker roles and obviously a pretty huge SQL database.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But it's designed to scale, so I know that if the workloads go, you can just scale up with more instances very easily.
Absolutely. And the fact that there's Azure data centres around the world means that if a particular client needs it to be nearer to them, we can just deploy it the same as a...
So one of the attractive things of the platform is you're able to sort of process very large amounts of data, and you're moving from 150 million rows coming in each day, a lot of ETL operations ending up with quite a bit of data in the SQL Azure platform. How do you cope with that? What happens en route? Was this difficult to do?
Okay, it was quite a big challenge. We've had databases running in the terabytes en route to the final destination. One of the big points of aggregation at the moment is we chunk it into periods of the day. One of the interesting things actually is when the data comes in, it's all in UTC time. We work back using the geocoding to find out where the user is in the world, and then we offset that time. So when it says it's daytime for a particular user, it is daytime for that user. So by chunking it into periods of morning, afternoon, night, evening, etc., we managed to get it from 150 million rows down to about 50 million rows a day that we export up to Azure.
And that is all sitting up there in SQL Azure. And I gather you're busy evaluating the SQL Azure Federation capabilities to help you grow that going forward?
Yes, we're in contact with Redmond about progressing that. We haven't made a release using that yet, but we're busy evaluating the potential and hope to move forward with that.
That would allow you to grow up to any arbitrary
absolutely
size. Yeah.
Obviously working with this sort of scale of data, we will eventually hit the limit of a single instance Azure database.
So, Bonnie, looking forward, what does the future hold for Newgrove as regards these sorts of projects?
Okay, we see our future very closely aligned to Azure. We've already talked you through the Orpheus application that's used by FT, and already we have three additional applications that are Azure through and through, one for the Royal Mail, one for the Post Office, and one for the Saudi government. Again, fixing similar problems. Huge data assets that we amalgamate and we provide a very neat business intelligence tool that can be deployed easily online. Taking the Orpheus proposition further, the next stage for that product in terms of its journey is moving into the targeting of adverts and servicing targeting adverts. As you see currently, it allows you to analyse the data. The next version will allow you to serve the right advert to the right person at the right time, a key requirement there. And in terms of the proposition, you know, really for ourselves, Azure is the perfect commercial proposition for us. From a technology point of view, the platform as a service is key for us and key for the market that we're working with. And we've had second to none support from Microsoft. It really has been a great journey so far.